So it's almost, just about, not quite, Christmas! Woohoo! We got one person who's excited.
Woohoo!
How many's excited? How many are looking forward to the day? Yeah. How about it? Isn't that how a holiday goes? Yeah, all there's one person here, either she's exhausted, or she's going, yeah, woohoo! You're going, yeah, woohoo! Oh, man, it is too cool to be in the Advent season. And through Advent, we look at the hope and the peace. Today, we're looking at the joy. Next week, we'll look at love. Today, this morning, I want you to think about how you felt on December 24th when you were a child. I can imagine. You could hardly wait for the next day to arrive. If you're like me, the anticipation made it difficult to go to sleep. Yes? I'm sure that you were probably thinking about what was in that package that you have been walking by for the past week. Maybe while no one was around, you picked up that gift with your name on it, and you gave it a good shake to determine what was inside. And then if it made the right sound and was the proper weight, you knew it wasn't new pajamas. Well, there were some shepherds who on that first Christmas Eve may have experienced the same emotion. But their excitement wasn't about what was about to come. Their excitement was about what they already had heard and seen. These unlikely recipients were the first to hear the heart-stopping announcement. Do you know it? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Have you ever wondered why God wanted to reveal His Son's birth to lowly shepherds instead of the leaders of Israel? Or why He allowed His Son to be born in a stable? We must learn to recognize that everything the Lord does, He does with a good purpose in mind. Both choices are significant. In regard to the shepherds, how appropriate that these lowly sheep, shepherds, were to be the first to hear about Jesus, who over the course of time would become known as the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep. In regard to the stable, when you think about it, there really is no more fitting a place for the birthplace of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, than a shelter intended for livestock. God has the plan, He's working the plan, and there's a reason for everything He does. So let's consider how astounding this encounter was. And consider, up to this point, God has been silent for hundreds of years. Put yourself in the shepherd's sandals. And what would you do if an angel appeared in your backyard while you're going about your own business and announced, today, the Savior of the world is born to you? And would you be able to just brush it off, go back to putting your lawn equipment away, turn out the lights, and go to sleep? Or would you be like the shepherds who immediately searched for the Messiah, the long-awaited King of Kings? And when they had seen Him, they told everyone what they had experienced. Throughout the month of December, we can find ourselves in a time of anticipation. For the most part, I would imagine everyone here this morning is looking forward to to the 25th of December for varying reasons. The truth is, we're to be living each month in anticipation, each week, each day, every moment, similar to what we find in God's Word. In the Old Testament, people were anticipating. Have you noticed that as you flip through those first books? They were waiting for a Messiah, a king. And I might add, for centuries. When we read the New Testament, we find people are anticipating too. Anticipating the return of the Messiah, the King of Kings. The question is, are we? Do the excitement? Like when you look up to the skies, do you expect to see Jesus' sandal poking through the clouds? Or are you just making it through another day? When we read the accounts of Jesus' birth and an angel's announcement, this was truly good news of great joy for all the people. That's you and me. The angel was proclaiming that God would provide salvation for mankind through a tiny baby lying in a manger. When you come right down to it, the entire life of Christ, his conception by the Holy Spirit, birth to the Virgin Mary, death on a cross for our sin, the resurrection from the dead, and the ascension to the Father, as well as his promise to come back again, is summed up in one word. Joy. Christ is the source of our joy. So if you're sad and lonely and overwhelmed, get close to Jesus. He's where our joy comes from. Would you agree that most exciting announcements bring with them immediate happiness? But afterward, the emotional high seems to just dwindle, leaving us unchanged. Last year, potentially, you received a Christmas bonus. And your proper response was, yes, I know exactly what I'm getting. But a year later, do you remember the joy and the excitement of that all-important gift? Are you looking forward to your bonus this year? If you're going to get one this year, what are you going to do with that? It's not like that when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we believe the good news and accept Jesus as our Savior, his joy is transforming. It lasts forever. We become content because the Holy Spirit is always with us. And as we spend time in close relationship with him, like a branch in a vine, his life flows through us, and the Spirit produces fruit. Show me the fruit. You can do it today. 12 o'clock p.m. A.m. P.M. Church parking lot should look like this. It should look like a celebration. Going to houses to sing the joy of the Lord. Plan to be here, and you can take this message today and put it into practice. And what happens when you share the joy of Christ? The joy of Christ is spilled out onto you. Try it once. 2020. Make a difference. We live in a world that can be harsh, especially now. Seems like this world is void of joy, peace, and hope. Can I guide your direction to the New Testament? The New Testament gives us many reasons to celebrate. I'm leading you to good food. Look through the ashtray for the pencil. Grab your bulletin. Write these down. Romans 15:13 says that Paul prayed that God the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Why? Because you trust in Him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I might add, is living in you. He spoke of the joyfulness that comes from giving to others. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God, in His kindness, has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they're very poor. But they're also filled with abundant joy, which God, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gifts of the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord, to us, just as God wanted them to. Paul gives some mighty powerful insight in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This is where we find how to find you, by following Jesus' example. We read, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He, that's Jesus, endured the cross, disregarding His shame. Now He's seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Take a lesson from Jesus' example. We can even rejoice because of suffering. This is important to remember when circumstances are less than joyful. Some here I can recognize by their stance in the car when I ask that first question. This is a tough world. The book of 1 Peter offers these thoughts. In chapter 1, verse 6, we read, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. You're in a tough time right now. Be glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Your trial isn't the cross. Learn from Jesus' example. During trials, we do not find in the immediate situation. Yeah. During trials, joy is not found in the immediate situation. It's not easy. But in the promise that God's kingdom will be revealed through the situation, that's where we get our joy. Peter goes on to say in verses 7 through 9, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have not seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your soul. 1 Peter 1, 7 through 9 says that current trials bring an assurance of faith, making the future joy even greater when Jesus returns. Similarly, the all-familiar James 1, verses 3 and 4, say that trials will strengthen our character. We can rejoice in the thought that trials point to a future gift. When I make it through this, it's far better on the other side. If we look for God's work and gifts in our lives, we will always, always, always have joy. If we get caught up in the temporary hardships and worldly desires, our joy will dwindle and fall away. Even in hardships, our joy remains because it depends on God and His promises, one being found in Isaiah 35:10. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Listen, and sorrow and sighing shall fall away. Sighing and sorrow will dwindle. The joy of Christ is unique, it's supernatural. It's not that we're happy about hardship, but we can find joy in God's good purpose for allowing it. Our delight is to be in Christ. It's when we acknowledge what He has done for us, what He is working in and through our lives, and what He promises in eternity that gives us real joy. I long for the day. Could be the day, and that excites me. That I had great joy. This is the opposite to our human thought and our actions, and why what we focus on is so important. The world we live in does not encourage finding joy in God. Instead, we're taught to value possessions, power, position. True joy is not found in those things. John chapter 15 says that joy comes from abiding in Christ's love. You want to read John chapter 15 today. Not now, but between 11 and 12, while you're waiting to come and gather for the caroling, read John chapter 15. You'll see at verse 11, Jesus says, I have told you these things. You've got to find out what these things are. I have told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Oh, check it out. John 15. Where are you looking for joy? Maybe you've tried to arrange your life circumstances, thinking, if I could just get the checking account to this amount, if I could just climb the corporate ladder, then I'll be, only to be disappointed. Happiness isn't something you create. Fixing your eyes on Jesus is the only one who can bring about lasting happiness. In every situation, whether good or bad, He is the source of our strength. When the shepherds heard about the Messiah, their immediate happiness sent them into action. They couldn't keep it to themselves. The joy of knowing Christ is a powerful thing. And as it was true for the shepherds, it should, in the same way, transform and motivate us to be joyful and triumphant in all circumstances. Are you prevailing in this life? Are you struggling? Are you surviving? Are you sharing the joy? A joyful life is the most appealing witness you and I will ever display to a lost and hurting world. People are searching for joy in all the wrong places. So when they see a follower of Christ going through pain, trouble, conflict, with calm contentment, peace of mind, joy in the journey, the door flings wide open to share the message of a Savior who came to give new life. and abundant joy. As you celebrate Christmas, remember Nehemiah's words to the people of Israel in Nehemiah chapter 8. Another good read this afternoon. Nehemiah 8:10, this is what it says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength and my strength. And when these people heard the scriptures read to them, they wept, they mourned because of their sin. However, Nehemiah told them not to grieve, but to celebrate. Give gifts and rejoice because the day is holy. Read it for yourself, Nehemiah chapter 8. Doesn't that sound like Christmas? As I look at the world around me, this seems to be the people's view of the holiday. Get a couple days off with pay, and then it's over. For the follower of Christ, Christmas is not a holiday. It's our holy day. A time to rejoice in the Lord with great celebration, presents, and time spent with loved ones. God wants us to enjoy this day by honoring Jesus Christ and celebrating with one another. But not just for one day, every day. We are to enjoy the gift that keeps on giving. And share the joy found in Him with others. We do that today at 12 o'clock. Be here this Christmas. Even if your circumstances aren't perfect or even ideal, don't give up your joy. It's a precious gift from God, and He wants you to have it to the full, not just today, but every day. Christmas is a preview of what awaits us in heaven. Think of it. Uninterrupted, uninhibited joy. Everlasting joy in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That alone is reason to celebrate with unending joy. Father, I thank you that you have given us your word that we can learn from it. Father, I thank you for making the world a hard place to learn, to live, so that we can learn from the experiences in life. So we praise you in the hard times, Lord. And we will praise you in the good times. Father, I pray that you would use this church on this hill or in this valley to be a bright light and reflect you well through this Advent and Christmas season. That we would be bold and courageous and share the joy of the Lord. That we could honestly say, that we could genuinely say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen.